I appreciate your prayers this morning. Lord will bless the word a little bit to our hearts. I'd like to turn to Mark, the book of Mark, the 12th chapter. Read a common scripture, begin at verse 28. Mark 12 and 28, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Second is like, namely, this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's none other commandment greater than these. Now we've heard many, many messages on love. Well, Lord willing, we're going to hear another one this morning on love. I'm convinced that it's still the most powerful force there is in nature. In order to, for you and I to get along with one another and work with one another and deal with one another, I think the only way that it's going to be done right and done well is by us having and expressing the love that we have in our hearts. I believe that it is love that drives us. It is love that causes us to do the things that we want to do. It's just the way that we are. It's human nature. If I love to do something, I want to do it. There isn't very many of us in here this morning, if any, that want to do things we don't like to do. I found that in my years of working at General Motors, that for the most part I liked my job, but there were some aspects of the job that I didn't like and I didn't really want to do, and it was hard. If it's something I didn't want to do, it's hard to put my whole heart into it. It's hard to put everything you got into it if it's something you don't want to do. But such is the nature of life. Every one of us is going to have to do things and deal with things that we don't want to do. Whether we like it or not, we're going to have to do it. It's a part of living. It's a part of life. But it's always easier and better for us when it's something we have to do that we really like to do. Love. You probably noticed that there's a great lack of love among mankind today. There's a great lack of love, and Jesus, he told us about it, warned us, if you will, that when iniquity abounds, the love of many is going to wax cold. It's hard today to keep people focused on the object of their affections. And I ask myself, why is that people have a hard time staying focused on the things that they ought to stay focused on? If I don't nourish my affections, if I don't constantly or continually, and in our case, every day as we go before the Lord and before the throne of grace, if we don't constantly renew ourselves and our commitment to the Lord and look to Him for His guidance and for His direction and see Him as He truly is. You know, God expressed His love by sending His only Son that He had into the world. He loved you and I so much that He gave His only Son for you and I. And so the question comes to my mind, what are we willing to give? What are we willing to do in order to nourish the love that we ought to have for God? He said, this is the first commandment. And it says there is none other commandment greater than these commandments. This is the greatest commandment that the Lord has given you and I, to have love. We can cross our T's and dot our I's and get everything else just perfect. We can stand for this and we can stand for that, and we can hold divine healing, we can hold faith, we can hold holiness, we can hold, but folks, if we don't have love, we cannot afford to lose the love of God out of our hearts. We can't afford to do it. Do you know that you could lose the love of God out of your heart and continue to go on just like you are? Doing the things that you're doing and not even realize that you've lost your love? That has happened many times in the past. People go on and because they go through the motions, they know what to do, they know what to say, they know what they're supposed to do, so they go through the routine, but pretty soon when we've lost the love, it just becomes a routine, doesn't it? It just becomes a routine to us. We've got to nourish our affections, setting our affections and nourishing them that we might be able to keep our focus or our desires upon the Lord. He is number one and should be number one in our lives. If we don't keep the affection, if we don't continue to work on it and nourish that affection to God every day, to enter into His presence, to feel His Spirit upon our hearts, to feel His love, to get a hold of His grace and His goodness, folks, that love, it's going to die. It's going to die. And we can't afford that today. We see what is happening in our world that we live in today. We see people coming and going. We see the lack of love in families and in relationships today. Folks, we've got to nourish those things. We've got to work on those things. When I made my vow 48 years ago to my wife, folks, it's something that I've got to work on. It's something that I've got to nourish. It isn't something that I have a right to say, oh, well, I'm not in love anymore. I don't feel like doing this anymore. But that's the way people are looking at it today. Not interested anymore. Folks, you got to do whatever it is you need to do to stay interested, because your soul is at stake. This is important, that you and I not let our love die to the Lord. I want to get right to the heart of my little burden this morning. My concern, burden for the church. I believe to some degree there's a lack of love among God's people today. A lack of love. And when I have a lack of something over here, I generally will reach out over there and find something to take its place. You understand what I'm saying? When I lose my affection and my attention where it ought to be, I'll reach out here somewhere else and get something to fill that space or to fill that place. And I want to encourage us today. I'm not up here to beat no one over the head. I want to encourage us today, folks, keep your love in check. Keep your heart right with God. Love Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. When I look at the religious world today and I see what they're doing, it causes me to stop for just a minute and take a look at us. I see the world today. There's a wow factor going on out there today. They want to mesmerize our young people. They want to have bigger assemblies. They're looking for the numbers. They're looking for the people. They're looking for greater buildings and greater places to come and worship God. Folks, when we are looking for those kind of things, we have lost our focus upon God. We have lost our focus upon the purpose of why we're doing what we're doing. We must have a love for God. But when I lose my affection, I'm looking for something else to fill that place. And I want to tell you, the devil will be very sure that he finds you something to fill that place. Whether it's you personally in your own life, in your own walk with the Lord, or whether it's a church assembly, or whether it's a congregation, or whatever it is, the devil will see to it that you'll find something to fill that space. We cannot afford to let anything fill the space of our love for God. We need a greater love, folks. We need a greater love. And I say I believe that there's a lack of love among God's people today. Things that I see, things that I know, I see a lack of love. It isn't a lack of understanding, folks. It isn't a lack of not knowing, but it's a lack of desire. It's a lack of purpose and a lack of love for the one that saved us, delivered us, the one that gives us grace from day to day. I think about the Apostle Paul. He made this comment over in 1 Corinthians 15 and 10. You know it well. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Folks, if you and I, as time goes on and iniquity abounds, it says the love of many will wax cold. Jesus said that, didn't he? And as time goes on, we've got to realize that you and I cannot do this without the love of God in our hearts. These are the two greatest commandments that is given to you and I today. It isn't living. It doesn't say holy, holy. It doesn't say be great. It doesn't say embrace this or embrace that. But embrace Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And love Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Paul said here, by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's by the grace of God, isn't it? Do you know, before I got up here, just this morning, before I got up here, in this pulpit, I was reminded of the scripture. The Lord says, without me, you can't do this. Without me, you can't do anything. And Paul realized that. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I. It wasn't my labors, but it was the grace of God that was with me. Folks, let's not focus on the numbers. Let's not focus on the tabernacles. Let's not focus on where people are worshiping or even how people are worshiping. It's how I'm worshiping between me and my God, the relationship that I have. When we all find that place and we fill that place, the church will be what it ought to be. When I fill that place, the church will be what it ought to be. But I see today a change. You know, there's a change. Don't have time to go into everything that's on my heart this morning. But there's changes. Do you know, when I was growing up, when you were growing up, your mother and father went to church, they took you to church. Sunday morning was a time that was meant for the families to go to church and worship God. That's where their affections was. We were raised that way. I was taught that way. My mother and father said, when the doors are open, we're going to be there. That's the way I was taught. Sunday morning was a time when we all gathered into the presence of God and worshiped Him. But look what's going on today. I drive down the highway there, coming to service, and I look over here in this big, long, green, luscious field full of soccer goals and full of little children out there just kicking balls and running around and doing things. And I've watched them personally, my own grandchildren. Half of them don't have a clue what they're doing out there. But that's where they are. That's where the parents have taken them. That's what the parents are into. Folks, I'm not interested in naming out things, but sports has gotten into the minds of our people today. And our little children, they're not going up being taken to church on Sunday morning. They may take them to church on Saturday night if they have one. But on Sunday morning, no, that belongs to the soccer, doesn't it? And not just soccer, but all kinds of things that people are putting in place of a Savior that came into this world and gave His life and died for them. Direction of our country has taken a turn, hasn't it? People are hard today. People are difficult today. People have a lack of love. They have a lack of fear of God. They're out there doing all these kind of things on Sunday morning. Hard telling what's taking the place of worship on Sunday morning in some people's homes and in some people's lives. But I want to tell you something, folks. We better set our affections and we better keep them there. We better nourish them. We better draw just as close to God as we can possibly draw. And realize that the enemy, the tempter, is there to lead you and I astray. You know, there's some people among us today, and it affects all of us eventually. They get the Sunday morning sickness. The devil loves to come along and put on a headache. He loves to come along and put on this and put on that. And I'm just too sick, or I just don't feel like I want to go to service. And this right here, this place is a hospital where we can come and be anointed and prayed for. And God said He would deliver and hear us at our altars. The enemy's taking advantage of us, isn't he? The wow factor. Oh, there's a lot even in our religious world that they're reaching out to get the affections of what they call the millennials today. Our young people. We have church pastors. We have youth ministers. We have music ministers. We have all kinds of athletic ministers. We have all kinds of things to get people interested, but not to worship. Get them in, get the numbers, get the money, but not to worship God. Well, they're not taught to love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, and with all their strength. They're not taught to love God that way. Folks, this is the greatest commandment of all, that you and I are to love God. We can only ask ourselves, what is driving us today? Why do we do what we want to do? Why do we do what we're doing? I can promise you this, we do what we want to do. No one's here this morning because someone took a stick and held it over your head and said it's going to beat you with it if you didn't come. We do what we want to do, don't we? Everybody does. Folks, I want to worship the Lord. I want to be faithful. He will bless faithfulness. He'll bless it, folks. He'll honor that. Such little that we can do for the Lord. But what little we can do, He'll bless it. And He'll honor that. But it all starts right here with the seat of my affections. What I really love to do. What I really want to do. You know, I know some may say, why do you say that there's a growing lack of love among God's people today? Well, let me answer that by asking you this question. Who gives us the love of God in our hearts? How's it put there? We can pray for it. But the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad by the Holy Ghost. Remember a message the Lord blessed us with 2 or 3 weeks ago on the value of the Holy Spirit? Folks, the Holy Spirit is what gives us that love. People lack the infilling of the Holy Spirit today. And they're trying to take other things and put it in its place. It ain't going to work. When you get down to the judgment, folks, it's going to come up short. It's going to come up short in your confession before the Lord. Anything that you try to put in place of your consecration, of your relationship, of your walk with God, it's not going to stand the fire. It's not going to stand in the day of judgment. How many people are filled today? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, folks, what does that mean? We can go over, you know the scripture, you go over to Galatians, the 5th chapter, and the 22nd, 23rd verse, and you see what the fruit of it is, don't you? You see what the fruit of the Holy Spirit is. Folks, these virtues manifested in us will produce and promote a greater desire Godward, heavenward, and a greater desire to promote God in our life. That's why people are doing all the things they're doing out there. They're filling a space. They're filling a hole there. There's a void there. They don't have the love. They don't have the desire toward God, and they're filling it with other things. Lord, help us today as a people of God not to be guilty of doing those kind of things. That our love would be genuine. Folks, love must be genuine. A love that comes from God is a divine love that even if you destroy the one that has the love, you destroy the person, you can't destroy the love that they have in their hearts. We need something to promote God in our life. We may not have to keep teaching and prodding people over and over if they really had the love of God in their hearts. And I want to tell you, I'm not the first minister to say that. We may not have to keep prodding folks, teaching folks, if they really had the love of God in their hearts. Because I believe, folks, that I could live isolated with the love of God in my heart and just have a Bible, and I could grow in the Lord. I could grow in the Spirit. I could grow in love. I could grow in grace. Just me, the Lord, and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. I believe we could live saved that way. The Holy Spirit would teach us, and He would minister to us. Would we? Would we have to keep prodding people, reminding them and encouraging where they need to be? What they need to be doing? How they need to be living? Folks, the Lord, for years, I'm gonna make a confession here. For years in my ministry, especially in my younger ministry, I somehow got the idea we needed to preach on things and we needed to name this and we needed to name that. You know what the Lord showed me recently? You get filled with the Holy Spirit and He'll name names. He'll name things. And He'll show you what to do. So what we need to do then is not so much talk about the things and how we dress and how we live and where we go and what we eat and what we drink, and we want to put such an important thing, importance on that. We need to put the importance on being filled with the Spirit. That our love will be what it ought to be. Folks, if I've got that divine love in my heart, you don't have to tell me where I can go, what I can watch, what I shouldn't watch. You don't have to tell me those things. The Holy Spirit will convict me. He will convince me. That's what Jesus said over in the 16th chapter of John. He will convince me of truth. He will lead me in the right way. We'll all be measured up in the right same way. This preacher over here don't have to preach on things. That preacher over there don't have to preach on things. Just tell the people, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Get the love of God shed abroad in your heart, and we'll just do fine. If we truly have the flame burning in our souls, we'll do fine. Because like I said years ago, first time I ever went out to California, someone's talking about the preaching out there. I said, you folks out here know what you need to do? Just do it. Just do it. Oh, but rather than just do it because it comes against me, my flesh, or what I really want to do, I want to go find a preacher that will agree with me on how I see these things. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That happens. That happens, folks. You know, this preacher here is going to agree on the Word of God. On the Word of God. If it cuts across you, it'll just have to cut. The Lord has healing balm for cuts. The Lord's able to heal those cuts. But if you come up against a wall and you don't want to bust through that wall, I can't help you bust through it, and I'm not going to lose my soul over telling you you don't have to do it whenever the Word of God says you got to do it. I'm not losing my soul for your sake by the help of the Lord. But I want to keep the love of God in my heart. The love for your soul. The love that we ought to have to promote God. That we might be able to lift Him up. Folks, when love becomes the main focus in our life, it'll cause us to seek after it more. Once we realize the power that it gives us to overcome the flesh, the power that it gives us to rise above the doubts and the fears and the accusations of the enemy, folks, we will desire more of that love. Once the Lord gives me light today, and I accept that and I get that in my understanding, folks, tomorrow I will be filled greater with His Spirit. And I'll have more power in my life because of the understanding and the light that He has given me. That's how we walk in it. That's how we grow in it. It's when He gives me something today and I accept it and I'm willing to walk in it and believe it. Tomorrow, folks, I'm going to have greater grace. And I'm going to have greater power. And I'm going to have greater love. All the commandments that's in the Word of God, the greatest one is love. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep them. You'll keep my commandments if you love me. You think about affection. Some of us have to go back a ways. But I remember when my eye started going out to my wife, before she was my wife. And I remember how that affection started to grow in there. And her affection started growing towards me. And I remember when we would pass one another there in the hospital where I met her. And how that, you know, you always kind of strain around the corner. Wait just a minute. You might be able to get a glimpse of her before you leave the floor. You know how young people, you know how it is. You remember when your affection was growing for that one that you were falling in love with? If I can just get another glimpse, if I could just see him today, maybe talk to him, send him a little note, a little love note. Do we do that with Christ? Do we do that with the Lord? Folks, we may have been saved for 40 or 50 years, but we still have to do that. We still have to let the Lord know that we love Him. We can't be like the poor old man when my wife said to him, and his wife was sitting over there, well, do you love her? And he got all uncomfortable and nervous and didn't know what to say. And they'd been married probably for 60 or 70 years. Well, something like that, he said. Do you ever tell her? She knows it. Does the Lord know you love him? Do you tell him? I do every day. Every day. And thank him for his great salvation and what it means to my soul. Every day. Yeah, these young people, they get an affection for one another, and you just watch it grow into tender love. Tender concern. You're concerned. What touches them touches you. Folks, that's the way it is with us. What touches us touches Jesus. Because he sees the love that we have for him and the desire that we have for him. It's the Holy Spirit, folks, that gives us the power to have his joy in our bosom. Gives us power to have his joy right down in our bosom. And I want to mention a brother in the Bible, the Apostle Paul. What an example that he was to us, folks. He really got into this working for God, didn't he? When he was struck down on the road of Damascus and the Lord sent the man to him to pray for him, he said, I've already told him. Lord said, I've already told him the things he's going to have to suffer for me. That didn't stop him, did it? When Paul was converted there on the road to Damascus, something happened right here in his heart. He developed a great love for his Lord and for his Savior. That's what his drive, where his drive came from. That's what caused him to go and be in the perils of the countrymen, perils of beaten and stripes and with whips and with rods and all the things that he went, because of his love, because of his affection and his desire. He wanted to serve him. He wanted to please him. He wanted to understand more about him, didn't he? I want to know him more. That's what drove Paul. What drives you this morning? What causes you to do what you want to do? Let's don't get so much focused on what's here in this world and how important things are in this world. I know there's important things that we got to do in life, but folks, there's something much more important in the life to come, in the world to come. Let's don't get too earthbound, but let's be more heavenbound. I'll tell you, as you get older, you'll get more heavenbound. As the things of this earth and the desires and the pleasures of this earth fade away, you'll get heaven bound if you'll be faithful. Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's the first commandment, he said. The second is to love your fellow man, to love your brother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and there is none other commandment greater than these. I believe God's pleased when we are filled with the love of God, being filled with a desire to live for him, to please him. Paul wanted to know more about him. With that, I'd like to turn to one of my favorite New Testament scriptures. I use it from time to time. The Lord hasn't taken it out yet, so I'll keep using it. Philippians, 3rd chapter. Let's think about ourselves as we consider some of these thoughts. Paul wanted to experience what Christ experienced. He wanted to feel what Christ felt. Let's look at begin at the 5th verse. The Apostle Paul says, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Lord, help me today. Lord, help me. Those things that I think are so important today. Those things that I think are so valuable today. You know what Paul's saying here? He realizes the credentials that he had. The tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew, the Hebrews, touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, he persecuted the church, touching righteousness when the law blameless. But these things that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, he understood and he began to realize that these things, his pedigree, was actually a liability in him serving God, in him loving God. Oh, these old earthly ties. These old earthly pleasures, these titles, they don't mean anything to God. Lord, help us not to get caught up, think we're something when we're nothing. That's scripture. Don't think you're something when you're nothing. He realized that these things were actually liabilities. These things that were gained to me, I counted them loss for Christ. Folks, that's love. He had a love here that was at work in his heart. But he went on to say, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung as waste, that I might win Christ. He realized that trusting in religious privilege, in his human attainments, that didn't bring him any closer to God. Those things didn't bring him more into the presence of God, so he counted them as loss. Lord, help us. Maybe we need to sit down sometime and write a profit and a loss statement for ourselves. Those things that we think are so important, maybe they're not such great profit to us. Maybe they're hindrances to me. And I need to get them out of the way. He said, I count them but loss. Because he really wants to win Christ, doesn't he? And be found in him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him. That's my verse this morning. That I may know him. Everything else aside, I want to know him. I want to know him, and I want to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. What was his drive? What caused him to want this so bad? He wanted to win Christ, didn't he? His desire was to gain salvation. When all this is said and done and the last breath has been drawn, what is my life? What purpose is it if I don't gain salvation and if I don't win Christ at the end? All of our own efforts, our own accomplishments, what are they going to benefit? They're not going to get us anything in the end. So he said, I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to personally know him. I want to know him intimately. You know, it's like when Adam and Eve were put out of the garden, and the scripture says, then as Adam knew his wife. That was intimate, wasn't it? There was an intimacy between them. Adam began, he knew his wife. We need an intimacy with the Lord. But if all these other things are filling our minds and filling our hearts and filling our lives, it's going to be hard to get it, isn't it? Paul said, I got to push those things aside. And I got to count them as nothing, as waste. They're not going to benefit me. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I want to know his resurrection power. I want to understand that. I want to seek after that. Such great power that life came back in the body of the Son of God and God raised him up. I want to know about those things. I want to experience what little bit I can to try to understand him, because he's the seat of my affections. He's the one I want to know. He's the one that I have a love for. You know what it's going to take for us to get this, folks? It's going to take a personal relationship in actual day-to-day experience. The experiences of today. The experiences of yesterday. The experiences of tomorrow. That's what's going to bring us to the place where we can actually know him. But you see, there has to be something put in place in my heart before that'll work. I've got to have a love. It's got to be, he's got to be the seat of my affections. Then, when I experience life problems, and he did experience life problems, didn't he? His ministry and things that he went through, and his desire to be faithful, to fulfill what Jesus wanted to do with him and in ministering to the churches, setting up churches, ministering to the churches, teaching the people, giving instruction, all the things that Paul did. You know, that's what God gave him to do. That's the work that he gave him to do. But folks, there was something for Paul that was even more important than that, and that he would know Christ. The power of his resurrection. The fellowship of his sufferings. Knowing Christ, Paul knew, because he'd experienced it. He knew that to know Christ entailed participating in suffering. That's the cross. That's where the reigning comes. You want Jesus to come and reign in you? You're going to have to take up the cross, aren't you? Paul understood that. When I talk about sufferings, I want you to try to understand this. Companionship in sorrow establishes the most intimate and lasting of ties as afflicted hearts begin to cling to each other. Two people suffering together. Two people going through it together. Only one may be afflicted, but that other one can have an afflicted soul, can have an afflicted spirit, can carry a burden for the one that's going through it. A companionship in suffering. A companionship in sorrow. Which brings about a bondage of love, doesn't it? Brings two hearts together. That's what Paul wanted. The fellowship of his sufferings. Lord, I want somehow for you to bring your heart and my heart together and be made conformable. As Jesus died in regard to sin on the cross, so you and I die also daily in our lives as we live for the Lord. Paul said, I die daily. You and I cannot give our lives for salvation for anyone. You and I can have no redemption ability in our death and our resurrection, but only in Jesus Christ. Paul wanted to understand his suffering. He wanted to understand, Lord, how? If I could say it this way, Lord, how were you able to stay on that cross with all the sins of man in this world bearing on your body, and when you looked up, even your Father wouldn't look at you because He couldn't look at sin. Father, how could you do that, Jesus? How could you do it? How could you bear all that and suffering in your own body and nail our sins to the tree? Oh, it might be too much for us to be able to grasp here. One of these days we're going to know and understand more about it. And folks, I'm willing. I'm one of those that's willing that if that's all I do throughout eternity is praise my Savior's name for what He suffered for me, for what He went through for me. I'm willing. I want to do that. I want to praise Him and glorify and honor Him throughout eternity, conformable to His death. Jesus died on the cross, and Paul realized that's where the secret was the cross. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, if there's any way possible I might attain. Not as though I'd already attained, were either already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I count not myself to have apprehended. Folks, every day of our lives, we're working on ourselves. We're striving to get to the place where God wants you and I to be, the place where we can have that kind of fellowship, that kind of relationship, that kind of love with God. We're striving every day. He said, I don't say that I've attained it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. I want to nourish my love. I want my love to be greater. I want Jesus to be my focus. I want to see, have you ever got up in the morning and a song to be on your mind? I had that happen to me here this week. Kind of stays with you pretty much throughout the day. I want to get up with Jesus on my mind, and I want it to stay with me throughout the day, folks. I want Him to stay with me. I want Him to be my focus as I go through the cares of life. And let us therefore, Paul said, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. You be faithful to God, and I can tell you that He'll be faithful to you. He'll be faithful to us, folks. And He'll bless you and I, and He'll encourage you and I. He'll keep us. He'll keep us in this old cruel world that we live in. I think about Paul, and I want to finish with Paul. I think about Paul that says over here in Acts, the 20th chapter, Paul was talking to the brethren, getting ready to leave. And he had a little message for them. He said, I'll read verse 19, and serving the Lord with all humility of mind and many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Oh, don't we have that to deal with in life, folks? Many temptations and tears and sorrows and sadness and disappointments and griefs and all those kind of things that we have to deal with. He said, serving the Lord, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. I showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But folks, here's his secret. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. In the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God, I want to tell you this morning, folks, you find yourself in that place where you, neither count I my life dear unto myself. What can the devil do to you? What can he do? When my life, I'm not trying to hold on to my life. I'm not, Jesus said if you save your life, you're going to lose it. But he said, I don't count my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy in my ministry, which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes bound in the Spirit, folks. He's bound in the Spirit of God to go and do the will of God. Nothing, including his life, stood in the way of his seeking and his longing for God. He loved him so much, I don't believe nothing else really mattered. Paul was not a hypocrite, was he? His love was genuine. It was genuine, folks. He put everything he had into it and left us with a testimony, didn't he? I've finished my course and I've kept the faith. He left us with a testimony. Lord, help us today. Folks, I want to continue on just for a little bit here and explain some things by the help of the Lord. The devil is working on every one of us. You know that. I don't have to tell you that. The devil is working on every one of us. And if he can't get you, he'll use someone around you to get to you. You know that? He may use a loved one. He may use a friend. But he's using someone or something, and his purpose is to destroy your love. He wants to destroy your love. The devil overthrew Adam through his wife. The devil didn't go to Adam. He went to Eve, didn't he? Job, when he lost everything that he had, his wife told him to curse him and die. Curse God and die. But he was too pure. He wouldn't do it. Solomon. He worked through Solomon's wives, 300 of them, to get to Solomon, didn't he? It's not always wives, folks. Remember Herod? When the stepdaughter went out there and danced before him? The devil used his stepdaughter to get John the Baptist, didn't he? Devil wants to overthrow you, folks. But if you keep that love burning in your heart, and you keep Christ as the focus of your life, the devil will not be able to overthrow you. That's what got Paul through all of his trials, through all of his sufferings. That's what took Jesus to the cross, was his love that he had for you and I. Love. Powerful, isn't it? It's your love the enemy's after. Natural love can be defeated under pressure. You've seen it done time and again. Folks, we need a divine love this morning. It'll survive no matter what we have to go through if we're filled with it. Remember, it was the love that God dealt with at the church in Ephesus? Yeah, it was the love. He told them, you've lost your first love. So my encouragement to you is keep your love hot. Keep it hot. Iniquity abounds, the love of many wax cold. But he also said, When iniquity abounds, the grace of God doth much more abound. He also said that, didn't he? Jesus warned us and said, because there's more iniquity in the world today, there is a need for more love. Love is service. Love is service. You love God, you're going to serve Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, help us all today to be faithful. I've always been impressed by Paul's deepest desire, and that was to know Him. I want to know Him too. I want to please Him, serve Him. I don't want to fail the Lord. I want to go all the way to make heaven. Lord, help us today. The scripture says, while I was musing, the fire burned. My heart was hot within me. Keep it hot. Work on your love. Something you got to work on. Something you got to work on. Everything that crosses your path in your life, you're not going to like. But you got to keep your heart right. You got to keep your affections where it belongs. May the Lord help us all today. Thank you for your time.